Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Let's start talking about the rhetoric that's being thrown at Tucker Carlson and questions that are being asked that don't seem to me to be really pertinent. Like, why did it take so long to get this Ukraine bill, passed in the House and the Senate? Why did it get so long to get this money out and weapons out to Israel? You know, what's wrong? Why did it take so long to get this? You didn't mention the Constitution. No, you just asked, why did it take so long to do this? You're completely unaware or don't care about the Constitution, Mr. Reporter Man. Mitch McConnell is making news now because, like Ben Shapiro, he's being highly critical of Tucker Carlson. Ben Shapiro is being critical of Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson cited Ben Shapiro for being cold and callous and saying that it was a good thing that the United States dropped two atomic bombs and killed tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of civilians, right? Yeah, in Japan. Over the years, who knows how many really died from radiation and things like that, sicknesses. But Tucker Carlson, in an interview with, Joe Rogan, said, you know, I can't even believe that I used to have that position. It's so utterly immoral. Yeah, good for Tucker Carlson. Good job, man, you know. Well, Mitch McConnell, who never saw any shred of morality that he wouldn't turn away from like a vampire, here we see Mitch McConnell attacking Tucker Carlson and blaming him because Tucker had the temerity to actually do an interview with, you know, Vladimir Putin, the guy that the United States has been lying to since the fall of the Berlin Wall.
What took so long to get some of these other eight Republicans persuaded to your position here? Was it the overall nature of this bill and what was lost in that time period for Ukraine?
Well, that's a good question. You already know the answer. I think the demonization of Ukraine began by Tucker Carlson, who, in my opinion, ended up where he should have been all along, which is interviewing Vladimir Putin. And so he had an enormous audience, which convinced a lot of rank-and-file Republicans that maybe this was a mistake. I think the former president had sort of mixed views on it. We all felt that border was a complete disaster, myself included. And, Chad, you remember covering the phases we went through. First, there was an effort to make law, which requires you to deal with Democrats. And then a number of our members thought it wasn't good enough. And then our nominee for president didn't seem to want us to do anything at all. That took months.
Okay, so pause that if the system will respond. Thank you for responding. Okay, so first is that, and some of our members didn't think that was good enough. No, the reason these are people like MTG, and again, I don't agree with them that the federal government has anything to do with immigration unless a state, according to the Constitution, asks the federal government to come in and help them to maintain their constitutional system, okay, their Republican system. But I will point out to Mitch McConnell that he isn't exactly playing honest there, because the members of his group that disapproved of it recognized that Speaker Johnson was not doing anything to actually really fund stuff. He kept putting stuff off. He kept trying to use it as his bargaining chip to say, I'll include this if you go with this. He tried everything he could under the sun to continue with the this being weapons and funding for Ukraine and Israel. That's it. That's why they didn't like it. I don't agree that the federal government should be involved at all, but to play that loose with the actual facts about how things went along just, again, shows what a disastrous, perfidious person Mr. McConnell is. To say that sort of thing and then claim that Tucker Carlson is at fault because too many Americans heard Tucker Carlson. You mean they got information from him? Implying what? implying that they got Russian propaganda again, right? Amazing. Just amazing. Here we go.
And the supplemental that was originally proposed, which dealt with not all problems, it didn't solve the border problem, but certainly addressed the growing threats at the moment.
Okay, again, there you go. He's like, so, what do you think the problem was? Well, you know, I blame it on Tucker Carlson, but, you know, maybe towards the end here I'll admit that it didn't include what actually everybody wanted included there, and that might have been the problem, and so therefore, something else I'm not mentioning, the speaker worked with Democrats because they don't want the immigration stuff. Thanks for that great answer there, Mitch. That's fantastic. Glad you have such an awesome memory, right? Just insufferable. Well, let's just go into some of the real information on this and just mention, everybody, that Mitch McConnell's claim that Tucker Carlson is somehow at fault is, again, one of these attacks on freedom of speech. That's one of the things they don't like. Says, oh, am I? He might as well have been going, of course. He just went to Russia, where he belongs. Seriously. Okay, so again, what we're seeing here is Mitch McConnell buying into essentially the same sort of stuff that was thrown at Donald Trump by the deep staters and the Democrats, rhinos and Democrats. And Mitch McConnell, and now you can see probably behind the scenes, he was one of those deep staters who had no problem with Donald Trump being portrayed as a Russian bot, as a guy who was purchased by the Russians, you might say, bought by the Russians. Now, I'm not defending Donald Trump in any way. The guy committed so many grievous acts when he was president. He is obviously not deserving to be in that office according to what the Constitution stipulates and according to any moral legitimacy. It's just not right. Joe Biden, also an evil, evil person, you know? But I will say that the charges of him being influenced by the Russians and getting help by the Russians are just absurd. They're absolutely absurd. And Mitch McConnell didn't raise a finger about that. And now he's trying to use this very same argument that was used on Donald Trump to try to portray just a simple conversation that Tucker Carlson had, and people could have judged it the way they want to and look it up. And they found, wow, what a surprise. First, he's distracting people from the real problem, which is that most people didn't care about that interview with Tucker Carlson. That wasn't the real reason that they opposed this. The real reason they opposed it was, A, they wanted that stuff for the immigration border issue, and they didn't get it. B, they realized that Speaker Johnson was using that as leverage and just continually gunning for the stuff he wanted, which was, C, what they didn't want. More money going to Ukraine, and now a very contentious issue, finally, after the first, oh, I don't know, say, 100 days or so of the media constantly banging the drum for Israel, then realizing that they had to maybe tone it down a little bit because there were so many innocent people being slaughtered, but the politicians still doing it, and of course, many universities portraying as anti-Semitic, people who are just asking for a ceasefire. A lot of Americans started to see the footage in Israel, and they didn't want more billions of dollars coming from the bankrupt United States and impoverishing their kids to send more weapons to kill kids in Israel. Those were the matters. It wasn't this distraction of, well, him intimating that he blames Tucker Carlson for interviewing Vladimir Putin. But even if it were, then what he's implying is what they saw changed their minds on the Ukraine thing. Which implies what? He's implying that somehow it was incorrect information, that somehow it was propaganda. Well, you have to prove that what Vladimir Putin said was not correct. Because it was correct. He went through the history of it. He was 100% spot on, just as he was the day before he initiated the announcement of the invasion in 2022. Or when he announced the invasion, the day before they acted on his words. Everything he cited about the James Baker Agreement, the Minsk Accord, the expansion towards the former Iron Curtain nations, all of it was 100% right during his pre-invasion speech. And the information he gave to Tucker Carlson going way back about the history of Ukraine was correct. And at first you could see Tucker Carlson was sort of befuddled by it all. Like, why are we going so back in history, so far back? Well, you could see as it went along, Tucker Carlson started to absorb that information. He said, oh, okay, I understand. Now, if Mitch McConnell wants to blame this problem of it taking longer to pass an unconstitutional package of funding other countries and giving them weapons to kill people, if he wants to blame that on Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson should probably say, oh, well, I must have done a good job. I gave people the truth. If he wants to imply that it's not the truth, then he has to prove that it's not the truth. He has to show some sort of alternative evidence or truth that we can verify. But he doesn't do that. He just broad brushes Tucker Carlson and the very concept of free speech. So let's take an opportunity now, actually, everybody, to do this. Let's talk a little bit about freedom of speech. And for that, of course, we're going to turn to the Again, if you're just listening, folks, this is a song called Entertain Me. It is from their album Book of Days, which came out after they had a short period of pop success, and they got rid of that success. They said, no, we don't want this. We're doing what we want to do. And it was intense.
Speak, talk to me, show what I am and cannot be. Talk, entertain me.
All right, so can you speak on college campuses without being called anti-Semitic, without being called an invader? Well, let's start things off by going back to my, let's do this. Let's go back to my citation of this guy named Shia Davidi. And he's a professor at Columbia, of all things, and he was very upset about the protesters at Columbia. And it just so happens that the state propaganda X feed of Israel saw what he had to post. I saw what he had to post, and I said, check out our Liberty Conspiracy Short Class 9. This is from the other night from this show here live. It's a look at hypocrisy, occupation, government throwing all of us together to argue as it uses our cash to fund genocide, and how critics of sit-ins regarding Israel-Gaza don't seem to notice their own double standards. So here we go. And Max Blumenthal makes this point about Israel. The state of Israel is meddling directly in U.S. politics, promoting a call for the U.S. National Guard to attack and repress student protesters at Columbia University and demonizing those American students as terrorists. Biden has taken the side of the Israeli state against Americans, denouncing the Columbia University protest and accusing the students of blatant anti-Semitism. So here we see. This is from the state of Israel. They're showing protesters. Terrorism, they're equating with it. They are openly supporting terror. Really? You mean the terror of what? The Israeli state continuing to occupy a land called Palestine or the Palestinians in their homes to crush them, turn them to powder, kill babies and children, starve them, shoot people at food tents, shoot people in food convoys? And says Israel, the protesters are terrorists. Let's blow that up a little bit bigger so you can see their great wisdom. And then there's this. Shai Davidi says, this is what's happening at Columbia right now. I know it's confusing, so let me spell it out for you. Terrorism is an ideology. They are openly supporting terror. They are terrorists. Terrorists have taken over Columbia University. The government needs to take over Columbia. Oh, so again, I ask the question. I guess you don't like it when some outside force comes and occupies a place. Just leave that hanging. All right, there you go. So that's for you, Shy. Isn't that great? Hush, hush, too shy, shy, too shy. Hush, hush, eye to eye. Yeah, so obviously that's a big deal, and that man is pretty well known. I didn't even realize it. Well, guess what? He's in the news again, everybody. Why? Because, of course, he's exposed himself as a massive hypocrite. Why? Because in some of his ex-pronouncements, he's been calling for the government to come in. Not only is he a hypocrite regarding occupation, because he doesn't even recognize that he's upset that these people are occupying this land at NYU, but he's not upset that the Israelis are occupying literally what they call the occupied territories, right? No problem. No problem whatsoever, right? But and tomorrow we're going to go into a great presentation from Kim Iverson about the history there, showing that the Jews, even if they're not considered the Ashkenazi Jews, the Jews weren't the original people who lived there in the Palestinian region from back in biblical days. So we'll talk about that. She talks about where Abraham came from. Very interesting stuff. So even, and it's not really relevant to the fact that an aggressor force came in 1947 and took land, and it has been encroaching on people ever since then, corralling people, innocent people, starving them, keeping water, controlling electricity, and keeping them inside that area that they've been encroaching on decade after decade, holding innocent people by the hundreds in Israel without any trial whatsoever. Yes, those would be called kidnapped victims. And of course, if you use the same logic that Israel could just go and slaughter all sorts of innocent Palestinians to try to get at Hamas and rescue their hostages, well, then the people in Palestine could do the same thing and say, we're going to make excursions, aggressive excursions into Israel whenever we want to try to rescue the people that the Israeli government has kidnapped. It goes both ways, right? Of course, people like Shai Davidi don't think that, evidently. I'm just going on evidence here. I'm sorry, NPR head. I'm just going on what I think is verified by what I see out there in the world. Maybe it's my truth, but I'm offering it out there for people to verify, and we can check on this, you know. Evidently, you don't like people doing that. So this guy is a hypocrite because not only is he upset about the occupation in New York, He wants the police. He wants the government to come in and get rid of the people, right? Okay, so maybe he thinks the Israeli government can come in and just occupy that land. Maybe that's what he thinks. He just doesn't like the kinds of people who are occupying it. It's got to be pro-Zionist people, evidently. But this guy has been exposed in another way to make get it right up to you. He formerly was an outspoken person for defund the police. He was a big gunner for defunding the police. Now, I am an anarchist. I don't think there should be state funding that takes from a neighbor to fund the police. That guy's not an anarchist. That guy supports states like the state of Israel. No state is legitimate. Then he says that the occupation is somehow legitimate in Israel, but the occupation at NYU is not legitimate. And then he makes it even worse by going backtracking on what he said about police before, which is defund the police. As most everybody knew, the vast majority of the people who were defund the police, we could probably adjudge, were, like many of the so-called anti-war hippies, not actually opposed to police or not actually opposed to war. They were just opposed to the people in charge of the police or the people in charge of the wars, and they wanted to get in charge of the wars, which is exactly what happened when Bill Clinton entered office. You can ask the people in Kosovo about that. Or you can ask the people in aspirin plants in Africa, right? In the Sudan, right? You can ask all those people. You can ask, the people in Waco, Texas at the branch. You can't ask any of them because they're all dead because of him. I forgot about that. A lot of people are dead because of him. You could ask the Iraqis, too, but a million of them died. Even 500,000 more died after the interview with Madeleine Albright on 60 Minutes, where she said, well, we think it was worth it. Unbelievable. So that's Mr. Shai Davidi, right? Wanted to give you that update as well. But in addition to that, let me just double check on this. I got a ton of notes here. Now I want to go to the Ron Paul Liberty Report and Daniel McAdams and Ron. So before we do anything else, and we're going to have a good update from Anti-War as well, but let me go over to Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams. Now, this is all about freedom of speech, portraying people as bad guys, and, of course, what's really going on is the bad guys are the ones who assume they can take your money. I don't see Tucker Carlson doing that. He's not with Fox anymore. I'm giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't like some of the people he's interviewed. I don't understand some of them, but some of the stuff is okay. So I say, okay, I take it bits and pieces. People who are consistently excellent, of course, are out there. Many of them are out there, and I don't mean like bizarrely out there, but they are available, and they come from places like this, the Ron Paul Liberty Report. Here's Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul talking about this and Mitch McConnell's statements and just the unbelievable way that Mitch McConnell tries to claim that Americans who don't support getting ripped off this way are somehow being misled by those evil Russian flacks like Tucker Carlson. He's
I mean, what McConnell is saying is it's all Tucker's fault because Tucker Carlson reported on corruption in Ukraine, and that turned Republicans against giving them even more money. As if somehow he was falsely reporting, he was spreading false rumors of corruption in Ukraine. Well, in fact, everybody knows, everyone who's not Mitch McConnell, I suppose, knows that Ukraine is notorious. And in fact, even the U.S. administration put on this next clip. I did a second of research on this. It's not a deep dive here. This is from Politico, I think earlier this year. Leaked U.S. strategy on Ukraine sees corruption as the real threat. And go to the next one. This is the Biden administration itself. Biden administration officials are far more worried about corruption in Ukraine than they publicly admit. Mitch McConnell basically is what he's saying is everyone was in favor of sending more military aid to Ukraine. Everybody in this country until that dirty Tucker Carlson started talking about not sending money to Ukraine. Well, the fact of the matter is, and again, here is not a deep dive, an easy dive. This is from April 15th, just a week ago. Put this on. Most Republicans oppose U.S. aid to Ukraine. Most Republicans oppose it. Go to the next one. This is that same report. Most self-identified Republicans oppose further U.S. aid for Ukraine. And more than three-quarters trust former President Donald Trump above all government and media sources to inform them. A CBS News YouGov survey released Sunday, just this past Sunday, found that 61% of Republicans say the U.S. should not send more weapons and other military assistance to Vladimir Zelensky.
There's a lot more coming up. It's Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The United States providing Ukraine with its largest military aid package to date. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced Friday a package worth $6 billion, which will include munitions for Patriot missile defense systems.
That will allow us to procure new capabilities for Ukraine from U.S. industry.
Austin expressed gratitude to Congress for passing foreign aid legislation that allocates over $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told NBC's Meet the Press that he doesn't believe presidents should have absolute immunity for action. actions taken while in office. This comes as the Supreme Court heard arguments related to former President Trump on Thursday. McConnell reiterated a stance which he made after voting to acquit Trump following the 2021 Capitol riot, suggesting that the former president could be held accountable by the justice system. And gas prices have risen slightly. AAA says the national average is now $3.66, up 1 cent from Thursday. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We continue with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, check out Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rumble, Rockfin, on YouTube now, as long as they allow us to stay there for a little while, and also on my ex, at Gard Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack. That is the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. And I welcome you to leave comments on any of the posts. You can also sign up for the podcast for our live program, which usually comes out a few hours after the live show finishes. Thanks so much for backing freedom, everybody. Let's continue with the program. TikTok in the news, so let's get right to this. All right, United States signs TikTok ban, according to this headline. In other words, United States President. U.S. government, the U.S. president, signs the TikTok ban legislation to force the sale. But TikTok is going to sue. Now, where in anything, any semblance of even a hint, a whiff of smoke of the burning Constitution, the smoke from a distant fire, can somebody say that the federal government can command that TikTok must sell itself? You know, I often talk about diktats and things like that. There's a new diktat from New York City that they want to force restaurants, or they want to force people to have to, if they're paying with a credit card, to have to include on an app, I should say, apps will have to include a gratuity for all deliveries or any sort of restaurant in New York City. That's a proposal in New York City. Now, again, on a moral side of it, who are you? If you don't like it, start your own business, right? If you don't like it, just start your own business. But this TikTok thing is blown up even bigger. because not only do they not want to start another business, they want to literally force this business to either close or sell. Imagine if you had someone in your neighborhood telling you how to operate that way. The long-discussed TikTok ban just took a big legal step towards becoming a reality. It also took a big step towards a courtroom. The recently passed bipartisan national security bill signed into law by President Biden, signed into operational executable statute, not real law, included legislation forcing TikTok owner ByteDance to sell the social media platform lest it be banned in the U.S. entirely. But don't worry about losing access to the site's videos just yet. The company says it will go to court to have the law overturned. The recent $95 billion national security bill, so-called, you must know where my mind's going. How do they even think that it's called national security? It's all taking flesh out of you and sending weapons to kill other people overseas. That provided funds and weapons to Ukraine and weapons to Israel and funds and weapons to Taiwan also included a piece of legislation called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. The portion of the bill prohibits distributing, maintaining, or providing internet hosting services for a foreign adversary controlled application. If there were any questions who this bill is specifically targeting, it only cites TikTok and ByteDance by name. Despite only a small amount of evidence the Chinese-based ByteDance has ever done so, officials believe the company is following a Chinese law that requires TikTok to share private user data with the Chinese government. Oh, sort of like what the United States government does with FISA that they just renewed. Sort of like what the U.S. government has been doing since Edward Snowden revealed that the NSA was taking people's data without any warrant. They have been paying people to do that, incentivizing in a fascist way, just the fascist form of collectivism. Well, TikTok has to be sold by ByteDance, or it will be officially banned by the United States. President Biden can extend them 30 more days to find a buyer. They have 9 months to do it, and then 30 days. ByteDance has said it intends to sue the government from forcing its sale or from banning it. It's just unbelievable. Let's now look at a few other things that are going on as far as freedom of speech is concerned. Let's look at some of those protests, and let's see what's going on as far as the politicians and their rhetoric to portray people as evil. Tucker Carlson's a Russian asset. The people who are asking for peace, the vast majority of them, somehow they're anti-Semitic and calling for the end of Israel, which is false. And here is Judge Napolitano with the great Aaron Maté, both of them talking about this right off the bat on his Judging Freedom program today.
You and I live in the New York City metropolitan area, and we are familiar with what's going on at the Columbia University. If I were on the law school faculty, I'd be marching with the students. What's your take?
I'm just very heartened by the courage and the moral leadership from these brave young people setting up these encampments, not only at Columbia, but at many other schools. Harvard just recently became the latest, I believe. And this is, you know, exam season for students. They have a lot going on, but they're just so outraged at the genocide being waged in their name. But they're doing something about it, and they're recalling the best traditions of this country. You know, college campuses were the source for so much anti-war protester in the Vietnam War and many subsequent foreign disasters and foreign conflicts. So it's just so heartening and encouraging to see young people carrying on in that tradition against really serious intimidation. At Columbia, you have now police assembling and the threat of a raid to break up the encampment. At NYU, you saw police come in and arrest people and then literally construct a wall, or an apartheid wall, you might call it, to keep students out. And not only are they facing physical threats, but also, you know, in the media, being demonized as anti-Semites. There's a huge propaganda campaign right now being pushed by establishment members of both political parties to portray these protests as anti-Semitic. Joe Biden said it. Senator Tom Cotton said it. Senator Tom Cotton said people who are foreigners taking part in these protests should be deported. So there's a huge consensus right now from the establishment to demonize these young people, but they're not being intimidated, and I'm just very encouraged by that.
Senator Tom Cotton even encouraged having fistfights. It seems to me the whole purpose of government, I'm going back to the Declaration of Independence, is to protect the exercise of our rights, foremost among which is the freedom of speech. Without that right, we'd all have British accents. We would never have had the American Revolution. Well, here's what Prime Minister Netanyahu said about 2 hours ago. It's a video tweet, a video X, call it today. It's about 2 minutes long. It's horrific. I want everybody to watch the whole thing.
All right, check this out, everybody. Watch this. And by the way, we'll get into the problems of the tragedy of the commons where NYU, Columbia, all of these get federal funds or they are sponsored by governments themselves. And, of course, then you start to say, well, if the government is going to be putting money in, then everybody's going to have a say and everybody argues about how the land is going to be used. But let's look directly at this unbelievable, absolutely genocidal maniac.
What's happening on America's college campuses?
I hope that's loud enough.
Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities.
I'll read it for you because they have. It is very quiet. He says, what's happening on America's college campuses? Anti-Semitic forces have taken over campuses. What's happening is horrific. Anti-Semitic forces, they attack Jewish faculty. Let me just go back a second. Here you go.
It's horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities.
Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel, says Netanyahu. And I'm not translating, it's just really low sound, low audio.
Of Israel? They attack Jews.
They attack Jewish students. So there have been occasional fistfights. People who have gone and infiltrated, as Max Blumenthal said, there is actually an advertisement for Jewish students who look like they could be Palestinian from the Middle East going in and dressing up as if they're Palestinian. You know, obviously, agent provocateurs will continue. And that's not to excuse real things if they do happen. But this, again, is a manifestation of something that none of us should be arguing about as far as having control over our neighbor's wallet. Why should I be able to say, well, I won the argument, now you got to send your money over to Israel to bomb people? I can't do that. That's not right. The very essence of it is incorrect, and it leads to all these people arguing. Now, people could be protesting and have no monetary vested interest, in no interest that's been forced upon them. That would be a different story. But right now, the United States government is sending over tens of billions of dollars there, and $61 billion to Ukraine.
Jewish students? They attack Jewish faculty?
He says they attack Jewish faculty.
This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities.
This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. Again, equating it to the Holocaust, which it is not, because I don't recall in the German history books the German government and the problems that it created in its hyperinflation and then the genocide and the terrible attacks on private property and lives. I don't recall them being similar to the Palestinian people living in land that had been theirs for generations, even going back prior to Abraham. And strangely, an arbitrary state of European Jews coming in and moving there and then using violence to take over more and more land. I don't know. There's something kind of strange about trying to equate this disruption in the United States and upset that maybe my tax money is being used to fund the aggressors as being somehow this protest against aggression as being somehow reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. But, you know, I guess if they can try to portray it and try to bring up memories of the Holocaust in any way they can, that provides them that extra cover. I don't know. I used to see that a lot at BU. If you were critical of the Zionist state, then obviously you were excusing anti-Semitism and you were against Jewish people, and somehow you were implying that you were in favor of what happened in Germany in the 1930s. It all led from one to the other. And that, I'm telling you, I saw this in the 80s over and over and over again at Boston University.
In the 1930s. It's unconscionable.
It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped, he says. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally.
That's not what happened.
But that's not what happened.
The
response of several university presidents was shameful. Oh, I see. So maybe they're not going to get a lot of that funding they've been getting. Maybe the anti-Semitism group will come against them, huh? Shake them down a little bit. That'll work, huh? Yeah.
Several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately,
state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently. But there has to be more. More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel. That's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are. I'll just read it. Wherever they are. That's bad enough. It's also when you listen to them. It's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there is an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. We see this exponential rise of anti-Semitism throughout America and throughout Western societies as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide. Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. But all one big libel. But that's not new. We've seen in history that anti-Semitic attacks were always preceded by vilification and slander, lies that were cast against the Jewish people that are unbelievable, yet people believe them. And what is important now is for all of us who are interested and cherish our values and our civilization, to stand up together and to say enough is enough. And we have to stop anti-Semitism, because anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It precedes larger conflagrations that engulf the entire world. So I ask of you, Jews and non-Jews alike, who are concerned with our common future, our common values, to do one thing. Stand up. Speak up. Be counted. Stop anti-Semitism now. Okay. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So, a lot of things that he offers there that are completely untrue. And, of course, let's go back to the judge.
Where to start with this, Aaron?
There's so many lies in there. Just starting with the notion that somehow these protests are anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. There are so many Jewish students taking part in these protests. At Columbia, you can see images of people doing Jewish ceremonies. It's Passover right now. They've been honoring that on the Sabbath. They honored that as well. But, you know, even if there weren't a single Jewish person there, a Jewish person of conscience taking part in these protests, even if there weren't, still the claim of anti-Semitism would be just as ridiculous. Because what are these people actually there for? They're there to protest mass murder, the industrial slaughter of children in Gaza. That's what everyone is opposed to. And the fact that Netanyahu feels compelled to make a video slandering them and urging action against them, it speaks to how dependent he is on U.S. support and how fragile his entire operation is, because he knows what he sees in those protests is moral leadership, which threatens his genocide campaign. He's worried about.
Now, pause it right there, because I'd like to add this. When he says, you know, they claim genocide, all you need to do is not only, you don't even have to go back to the origination of the contemporary Jewish state. All you have to do is look at a map and see which state surrounds which people and the encroachment of that state to know there's a bit of a problem with what Netanyahu is saying. Then you can look even further at it, and you can see that the people in Palestine were led politically by a group that he himself openly stated he wanted to support, because they would be oppositional and wouldn't negotiate and would allow for further kinetic confrontations that then would allow the more powerful Israelis, fed by the United States to the tune of $3.8 billion a year over a decade, and beyond that, they got money even beyond that, they would be able to take over more and more land. It was all part of his plan. And now he's trying to dodge claims of genocide when he himself used the phrase from the river to the sea. When people in his own party, in the Knesset, and in the IDF openly stated that they want to sweep those people away. They don't want the young people to live because they say that they will grow up to be new Hamas. They have targeted civilians in buildings. They don't know whether Hamas is there. They've been using AI that can kill innocent people. They haven't been allowing food in. They haven't had the people in Palestine haven't had good water there since I cited a piece from 2018. And he says these things are lies. This is the battle before us for the ability to be able to check information and see what is true or not true, to actually see things if we want to see things, if we want to share information and not be crowned with a dunce cap and claim that we're deluded because we actually investigated and found information that they didn't want us to see. They constantly tell us, well, you know, people who look at information nowadays, you know, the more exposed they are to information, the more false information they get. And then you actually look at what they're citing as false information and you realize, oh, no, that was the real information about COVID or the masks or the PCR tests, whatever, right? Oh, that was the real information. I see now. It is who is in control. Now I want to give you a little bit more from Max Blumenthal and Aaron. And Aaron Mate is Jewish, by the way, and so is Max. So here's Max and Aaron from the Gray Zone today.
Kind of Gaza encampment in the middle of campus in Morningside Heights in New York City, media center of the world. And the protests have spread all across the country, all the way to Cal Polytechnic on the West Coast. Campuses across the country are starting these kind of occupations or autonomous zones, and what they're doing is challenging the investment of major American universities in merchants of death like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, as well as other companies that are involved in the genocidal slaughter of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And
that's the key right there. That's what I wanted to make sure I got out to you. And I wasn't just going to say it like, you know, like, oh, you know, I heard this somewhere. I wanted to make sure that I showed you Max Blumenthal and Aaron Mate are bringing up a very, very important point. A lot of these politicians are very upset beyond what they normally would be upset for two reasons. Or they're showing this upset more. They're playing it up, I think, for three reasons. First, they're backed by many Israeli donors. Second, they're backed by many of these corporations that have massive amounts of investment and stock holdings from these universities. So if you can look back at the anti-apartheid days with South Africa, there was that big move to divest. And various universities had a lot of people protesting to say, divest, pull your investments out of these things. They have a lot of leverage, right? And this is very important to bring up because the politicians like Mitch McConnell and Cotton and those people, Lindsey Graham, they are very well aware of the way the system really works, the way those universities get their funds from the federal government, the way they have their investments in many of these giant corporations. They have big time interests. They don't want people standing up the way they stood up on campuses to protest Vietnam. And yet you got a guy like Shai Davidi saying, call in the cops, call in the troopers, call in the National Guard, not even realizing as he's saying it that it has echoes of Kent State. This guy who says that he's the one who's defending the right side, the occupying force. And then he doesn't even recognize that for some reason he's upset at an occupying force that's hanging out with tents on some grass in New York and protesting the war state.
Militarism in general, it relates directly to what we're going to discuss later about the $95 billion aid package that is basically a down payment on conflicts, not just in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, but in the Asia Pacific theater for a generation. And they're challenging the American university and the hypocrisy of the liberalism espoused by American university administrators, like Columbia president Manoush Shafiq, a trustee of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and exposing the contradictions, and they consequently provoked the inevitable Zionist freakout, comparing what's happening there to the second coming of the Holocaust.
And that's exactly what we just saw. The head of Israel, of the before he is possibly thrown into prison, Netanyahu doing. Now, with that stated, I think we're very fortunate that we can communicate with each other this way. So I want to go into Rockfin and Rumble. Rockfin and YouTube. And I'm going to be heading to Australia in a minute to talk about the X conflict there, which is sort of a parallel to what's been going on in Brazil with X. And I want to note that if you are in YouTube, you can leave your comments. And also over in YouTube, I know my friend Tim from Australia is there. Tim, I see what you have written because I appreciate you getting my message earlier. Folks, Tim is in Australia, and I'd love to get his opinion on free speech there. I also sent a message to Harps. And Tim, if you're watching right now and you go into your X feed, if you go into your X messages, I sent you the link for the show. When I saw that you had the opportunity, you say you have a good spot. If you're hearing this and you want to come on to talk about the Australia issue, I want to open this invite tonight, tomorrow night, any night that you're free, if you want to come in. And if you're hearing this now on the fly, hop in, buddy. It would be great to talk to you from Queensland. And get your thoughts on this controversy over free speech and the video of the knife attack that they're trying to now lever into further attacks on free speech, the way that the New Zealand Christchurch attack was used. And in fact, the former prime minister of New Zealand is now the head of the Christchurch Initiative, which is a worldwide global attempt to try to censor the internet. And we'll talk about that some other time. But just to let you know, this is a parallel. They don't want this video being shown. They're going after X. We'll go to Australia and free speech in a little while. And if Tim can join us from Australia, that would be great. Harps, if you're watching or listening and you'd like to join us, I can send you the link as well over on Twitter. And the invite is open tonight if it works, or any night if it works. We'll work things around. I also wanted to mention some excellent comments by Birdhouse Blues. Birdhouse Blues says they've already made participation trophies for Ukraine. Just end it, Zelensky, and pass out the awards. This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.